Let's praise Him and thank Him for His goodness in our lives. We thank You, Jesus, for salvation today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that we have a hope, oh God, beyond this world. We thank You, God, for the peace that passes all understanding. We want more of You, Jesus. Lord, You're still the answer for every need in this world today. Jesus, we look to You. Come on, church, open your voice, open your mouth and praise Him. You can cry out to God from the darkness. You can cry out to God from a place of pain. Even Jonah, when he was in the belly of that whale, he cried out to God and God heard him. Even in his disobedience, God heard him. So today, God is speaking to somebody. Just because you're in a difficult place, just because it's painful, and maybe it's even dark, I want to tell you that God is not distant from any one of us. David said, though I cry from the belly of hell, You hear me when I cry. You are with me, God. You pursue me. Surely goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Cry out to God today if that's you that God's speaking to. Hallelujah. Got a number of needs we need to pray about today. But I'm heavy-hearted for the vast amount of people in our church that have family members and friends being affected by the global pandemic. If your family or your friends have been impacted by this global pandemic, I would like you just to raise your hand. If you know someone in your family, lift your hand. If you've got a family member or a friend, look at this, all across the church. Although it hasn't impacted us in our city, it has impacted us in other countries. And today, a very good friend of ours, the mother of Sister Zami, Sister Margaret, grandmother to Jason and great-grandmother to the children. She has come down with COVID-19. She's elderly and we need to pray for her today. We need to pray for all the family members and friends of those in our church that have been affected by this. Many have lost their lives and many are sick. We need to pray. We need to pray for the churches in lockdown in Sydney and Melbourne and around Australia at this time, that God will visit them as they have online services. And we also need to pray for Bishop Downs, who has been unwell. He's got he's got a sickness, but then he took some medication and the side effects were also bad as well. So we need to pray. He's recovering. He's doing well. We need to keep him in our prayers. Amen. If you've got an unspoken prayer request, you can signify that just by raising your hand right now. We're going to come before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, especially for the mother of Sister Zami, grandmother of Jason today, Lord God. We pray you'd visit Sister Keontae, Lord God, there in Mizoram, India, Lord God. Visit her. Let your healing hand touch her body. Lord God, we pray for that hedge of protection around the rest of the family that live with her also, and the children that live with her also, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for a wonderful testimony of your healing power. Lord God, you've used her in a mighty way in times past to open doors, Lord God, for the propagation of the gospel, Lord God, for the starting of our orphanage in India, Lord. She was a key and critical part. So, Lord, just keep your hand upon Sister Keontae right now. We also pray for the family members and friends overseas, oh God, with this sickness. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the many that have successfully recovered, but we pray also for those, oh God, who are sick at this time. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are working essential services in hospitals especially, oh God. Keep your hand upon them and for our churches around Australia. We think specifically of those in Sydney and Melbourne, those in Adelaide, Lord God. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just visit those services today as they gather online. Let your spirit be poured out in a very, very real way, Lord God. And for every need, oh God, in this house, Lord, Lord, shown by a raised hand, especially our bishop today, Lord God. Visit him in his sickness, oh God. Let your healing hand touch your servant's body. And for every need, oh God, represented in this place by a raised hand, Lord, some of those needs are our own personal needs. Some of those needs are financial, relationships, sickness, oh God, or for other people, oh God. Lord Jesus, we know that you hear us when we cry out to you. We know you hear us when we pray, and that your arm is not short, your ear is not deaf, and that you hear us. And so, God, we're going to give you thanks right now for hearing our prayers and, Lord, for moving on our behalf. Let's give him thanks right now, church. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. We want you, Lord. You're the answer to every need, to every circumstance. We want you, Lord. Let's sing it, church. We want you. Cry out to a living God. Are you thankful for that today? And that he hears us when we pray, and that he inhabits the praises of his people. I'm glad about that today, church. I'm glad about that. I don't know about you, but is somebody glad with me today that we can feel the presence of God, that he hears us when we pray? Clap your hands to him and thank him. I'm glad that I can be in his house today, amongst his people today. Oh, yes, yes, Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to be sitting next to you. Amen. Then you may be seated today. A few announcements today before we take up our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. But before we go any further, I just want to extend a very, very special warm welcome to our guests that are with us today. If you're a guest and you're with us today, thank you for joining us. And for those that are joining us online, we thank them for joining us as well. Just a few announcements. We are starting up, and you would have possibly seen a little flyer as you came in. We have a monthly prayer and communion service on Friday night, but we're going to turn that monthly day, that monthly prayer and communion service, the day into a day of sacrifice. So a day of fasting and a day of prayer. We're going to start the day with a morning devotion from 6:30 to 7:15 on Zoom so everyone can join. And then we're going to encourage the church to fast during that day, one Friday a month, and then we're going to come to church for communion that night. All the details you need for that are here in this little flyer. You can grab that. It's got all the details you need, including a little, I used to think these were little pizzas, but I'm told they're QR codes. If you actually scan that, it will take you straight into the Zoom meeting for that morning devotion and prayer. And thank you to all those that joined us for the 21 days of prayer when we had the morning devotions for those 21 days straight. And so it was a success, and we're going to continue to do that with that once a month, that day of sacrifice. So you can get all those details. We'll start on the 6th of August. Amen. Our women's ministry are always very active, and they've got some wonderful events coming up. They've got a teaching series which is going to run over 3 weeks from the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th of August from 7 p.m. to 8:30 at the church, and they're going to be doing a teaching series called The Emotionally Healthy Woman. And they're recommending that you purchase that book, The Emotionally Healthy Woman, and there's going to be teaching series for those 3 weeks here at church from 7 o'clock until 8:30. Details for that are in the foyer. There's no registration fee, but you might like to see Sister Melanie, or you might like to sign your name on that sheet so we can keep you informed of what's happening. And then we also have the verse mapping. Now, verse mapping is something that's very popular. I know Sister Melanie started it here in church, and then I went to the Torres Strait, and my mum has since taken it to the Torres Strait, and the ladies are doing the verse mapping. But verse mapping is where you take a scripture and you really break it down and really unpack the meaning of the scripture in its entirety. And so it's something you can do on your own, ladies, but it's also wonderful to do in a group. And so the second Wednesday of the month, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here at church, the ladies are going to be doing that if you're available on that second Wednesday during the day. And then the third Saturday, for those that are not available during the week, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. But all those details are in the foyer, or you can see Sister Melanie about that. So there's some wonderful fellowship opportunities, Bible study opportunities for our ladies. And we thank God for our women's ministry. Amen. Well, that's it. I'm going to get everyone to stand now. We're going to take up our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. It's good to be back in church. Last weekend, I ministered in the morning on Yam Island, a small island up near Papua New Guinea. It's still part of Australia. And then on Sunday night, I was ministering in Thursday Island. And we had a wonderful time up there. I've never worked so hard in my life. I don't look like a tradie, and I certainly didn't feel like a tradie. Working with Brother Yuka and Brother Jason as we took off all the leaves that were on the side of the church and replaced it with fibro cement. My wife said to me, she said, how are you going? I said, I feel like I'm on an episode of Survivor. She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm just trying to survive. You know, that physical work. I was getting into it, but I tell you, I had to go to bed as early as I could. Had to eat, and we're drinking like 15 liters of water. It was 35 degrees up there. I was very, very envious of all you freezing down here. But 35 degrees, it was humid, and it was hard work. But we got it done for the church, and they're so glad. And yesterday, I think they were painting the church. So we look forward to being able to show you some photos. And so those photos, for those that aren't on social media, I'll try to put them up next week. But they're on our Facebook account, our Instagram account. You can see the photos of the church. And we were able to do that because of the generous giving of those in this church. Also this week, we were able to give $7,500, especially for the pastors in Bali whose churches are closed. All their people are gone. The pastor there who was he was the pastor of the church, and also he was doing weddings for tourists that were coming in, and they have absolutely nothing now. And my dad received a call, and they are now buying live chickens, plucking the chickens, cooking them, and hoping to find someone with enough money to buy the chickens. And so this week, Pastor Thompson, we were able to send him $5,000 and then another $2,500 to help with other pastors that are finding it difficult. We are blessed, church, to be a blessing. Don't let the blessing of God stop with you. We can have what we need, but let it flow. And this is a church that believes in letting it flow.
to bless other people. And just this year, we've been blessed to give a lot to missions, and we thank God for that. So as we take up our Sunday morning tithes and offerings, let's be mindful to thank God for what He's done in our lives, and let's continue to be a conduit of blessing to the world. Lord Jesus, we just pray right now, Lord, as we receive these tithes and offerings today, Lord God, that You would bless them. Lord, that You would multiply them and use them for the furtherance of Your kingdom. Lord, we do. We thank You for the privilege and the opportunity of the connections that we have throughout the world, oh God, to be able to release funds, oh God, to help these people in these times of need. We especially pray for Pastor Thompson and Pastor Frederick there in Bali, Lord God. Just be with them at this difficult time. And for all the other pastors, oh God, that we've been able to support, continue to keep Your hands on them at this difficult time. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing in our lives and for Your provision, for Your hand that's been upon our church and our city at this time. And we pray, use these tithes and offerings for the furtherance of Your kingdom. And we give You all the praise and all the glory. And all the church gives a hearty amen. And all the church gives a hearty amen. Amen. Let's give to the Lord today, and let's be mindful of His blessing. Amen. Praise God. Chapter 2, if you could turn there in your Bibles. Remain standing with us just a little bit longer. And make sure you get your Bibles out. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Amen. Have you got it in your Bibles today? Have you got it on your devices there? And for everyone else who doesn't have it in their Bible or on their device, it's going to be on the screen for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, just a short portion of Scripture which I want to break apart and focus on today. The Bible says, "And now, little children, abide in Him." Everybody say those three words, abide in Him. "And now, little children, abide in Him." Other translations say, remain in fellowship with Christ. Remain in Him. Stay in Christ and live deeply in Christ. "And now, little children, abide in Him." Remain, stay, live. "That when He appears," that's speaking of His second coming, "that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." I want to take my title from a very well-known quote. Now, I can't attribute the quote to anybody. It's been said that the quote originally came from Shakespeare, But many people debate that, and they're unable to actually link it with Shakespeare. But I'll take my title today from a quote, maybe something that you've heard before. Consistency, thou art a jewel. Consistency, thou art a jewel. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for your presence that's here today. Lord God, our greatest need, oh God, is for your word to guide our steps and to guide our path. Lord Jesus, we come here today with many needs, Lord, facing many circumstances. And your word is able to speak to every need and every circumstance. So, Lord God, let your Rhema word go forth. Let it be a timely word for everybody in this house. And help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And Lord God, anoint your word as I speak it, oh God. Hide me behind the cross. Turn me into a microphone from heaven, oh God. That, Lord, we may hear from you in this house today. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Consistency, thou art a jewel. You may be seated. Consistency. Consistency is important. Everybody say important. We like consistency. Maybe you haven't stopped to think about it very much, but we really do. We like consistency. I like the brakes on my car. Anybody else like the brakes to be consistent on their car? Correct. I like it when I go on an airplane that the pilot is consistent. I hope that he's consistent enough not to just take a coffee break and just forget about the wheel for a little while, if they have wheels, or the controls. I hope he doesn't take a day off. I hope he slept well. I hope he's got good health. We like consistency. I want my brakes to be in my car consistent. I want the airplane pilot to be consistent. If I'm going to have an operation or I'm going to have a surgery, I want to make sure that the surgeon is consistent. I'm going to ask questions like, how many of these operations have you done before? He say, oh, I've done 100 of them. Well, how many have been successful? He says, oh, well, I get a few, right? How many people are going to feel comfortable with that? No, I'm going to say, I'm going to go and try and find a surgeon who's a little bit more consistent. If I'm going to have an operation done, I want a surgeon that is consistent. Consistency. Thou art a jewel. We hear lots of preaching about falling down and getting back up. Micah says, when I fall, I shall arise. And that's important. There are going to be times, church, when we fall and we've got to get back up again. And we hear a lot of encouraging preaching about when we fall down, that we can put our trust in God and we can get back on the right track and we can serve God again. And that is so important. And if you have fallen, I want to tell you, you can get back up again and God will give you strength. Somebody say amen. But even more important than that, and maybe we don't hear enough preaching about this, and I apologize for that. But even more important than falling down and getting back up again is to hear preaching about just staying up, about staying strong, about being consistent. And the reality is, a lot of us, we fall a lot, and that's why, you know, we hear preaching about that, and it's much easier to recover actually than it is to remain strong. It's easy to fall and get back up, but I challenge you today, it's even harder for us to just stay strong and to stay consistent. Everyone say consistent. It takes a lot of spiritual focus to stay consistent in our walk with God. It takes a lot of spiritual focus to stay up, and it takes a lot more spiritual muscle to stay consistent and to stay strong. The writer of Hebrews said this, and it will be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold, everyone say hold, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. For we are made partakers of Christ, that we hold from the beginning, and that we continue steadfastly, consistent and strong to the end. And I want to point out to you in our text in 1 John, we see the very important link between remaining consistent or abiding or staying in Christ, staying strong and consistent. We see the link between consistency and being ready when Jesus comes back. Because if we're not consistent, He will come in the twinkling of an eye. And if we aren't ready, we're going to be ashamed, that scripture says. Consistency, thou art a jewel. The Olympics are on at the moment, and those people are there because they're consistent. They get up early in the morning, every morning, to do their routines, to do their exercise, to do difficult things consistently. You see, consistency separates the winners and the wannabes. The winners are consistent. Those that are inconsistent, they're just wannabes. You've got to be consistent. Consistency is the difference between the all-time greats and the one-hit wonders. Those who become great are those that are consistent. And the writer of Ecclesiastes said this, the race is not given to the swift or the strong. I want to tell you who wins the race. It's not the fastest. It's not the strongest. It's those who are consistent in their walk with God. I tell you, those who are going to be ready when Jesus comes back, it's those who are consistent. The Bible says in Galatians, I believe, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so we hear a lot of preaching about falling down and getting up, and that's all good. But today I want to preach about being consistent. Being steadfast, abiding in Christ, being constantly connected, abiding in Christ, in constant fellowship, abiding in Him, consistency. And so if you're down today, I want to tell you, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and don't, you know, it's the race isn't to the swift or the strong. Just put one foot in front of the other. Keep walking. Be consistency. Consistency, thou art a jewel. All throughout the scripture, we see a strong message about remaining consistent. I want to read three verses of scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he writes this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, what's it say? Be ye steadfast. What's the next word? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Consistency, thou art a jewel. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Hebrews 10, 23 says, let us hold fast. Everyone say, hold fast. The profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us be consistent, for He is faithful that promise. I'm here to remind the church today the importance of being consistent, the importance of staying strong, the importance of abiding in Christ. Somebody hear me today. Consistency, thou art a jewel. Webster's dictionary defines the word consistent as holding together, firm, coherent, agreeing, in harmony, in accord, holding to the same principles and the same practice. Consistency is so important as Christians. When I think of consistency, I think of words like practice, of continuing,
perseverance and determination and faithfulness, unchanging, unwavering, stable, all those things. We got to be consistent in our walk with God. We want things to be consistent in our lives. And you know, consistency is so important. The whole world is changing. Everything in the world is changing, but God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Everyone say, change not. And so since we are created in the image of God, let me go a little bit further and say, we are created to be consistent. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we are living in changing times. We can't even keep up with what's going on in the world today. You can't even keep up with all the new morals and the new ways that this world is introducing. But I want to tell you that I'm thankful today that my God is consistent. He never changes. He never wavers. His word never changes. And I can stand strong in this world that is changing because I got a God that doesn't change. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Consistency, thou art a jewel. It's a word that can make us cringe a little bit, I think. It's not one of our favorite things. Think about all the New Year's resolutions that you made. Think of all the diets that you've tried. We say, well, I'm just human. Is it really fair that God would require consistency from me? We want other people to be consistent, don't we? You don't think people want you to be consistent as well? Think God wants us to be consistent? Yes, it's hard, and we can do a lot of good things for a short period of time, and we can keep it up for a short period of time, but it's very difficult for us to be consistent over a long period of time. I read a story. This man wrote this. He said, dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, haven't been grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I haven't whinged, complained, cursed, haven't even eaten chocolate. I have charged nothing to my credit card. But Lord, I'm getting out of bed in a minute, so I'm going to really need your help. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, don't be like children tossed to and fro. He was telling them to be consistent. He was saying, as you grow up, as you mature, as you grow in your Christian walk, yes, as immature Christians, we will be like little children who walk and fall and walk and fall. But as we mature in our walk with God, there needs to become a consistency. I want to tell you, consistency is so important in our life. And as we grow, we need to get to that place of firmness and not wavering, but consistent in God. Luke 16 verse 10 says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And so God's looking for our consistency, not just in the big things, but also in the little things. Because if you can be consistent in the little, God will give you much. God will allow you to be the ruler over more things if you can show yourself faithful and consistent in the little. And so consistency is the evidence of spiritual maturity. If you think about it, we like investments that are consistent. You don't want an investment that's, you know, bottoming out every second day. And think about that. We think, well, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to use my life. I want you to use me to reach somebody. And if we're not consistent, think about it. If we're not consistent, why would God invest in us and use us? We can't even live for God day to day, and we're up and down all the time. You see, sometimes we got all these dreams that God has given us, and we see God using us. But you see, consistency is the bridge between dreams and reality. You can see it if you're consistent. Keep your walk with God firm. Yes, I love it how brand new Christians, they're so passionate and they run, but before long they fall and we help them back up again. But there needs to come a time in every single one of our lives where we become stable, where we become consistent, not wavering, not tossed to and fro. Yeah, we might not be running, we might not be dancing around the church, but God wants consistency. Consistency, thou art a jewel. And so we get that rhythm, and I know some of you know what I'm talking about, that rhythm and that flow in our Christian walk that allows us to be consistent. Sometimes somebody says, you know, how you going? And they say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Other times we just say, well, I'm good. I'm good. Yep, still good. Everything's not rosy, but you know what? I'm good. I'm going to be consistent. Matthew 24 verse 13 talks about the importance of being consistent if we want to be saved. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And so today, church, I'm talking about consistency. Consistency in our prayer life. Consistency in our Bible devotion. Consistency in our Christian convictions. Everyone say Christian convictions. Consistency in our Christian witness. You know, a lot of people don't want to come to church and don't want to be a Christian because they see inconsistent Christians. Consistent in our fellowship. Consistent in our ministry. Sometimes it's hard. And I'm thankful for our greeters and our ushers, our musicians and singers, and everybody that works in the media and everybody that cleans the church. And I want to tell you the difference is it's consistency. It makes a difference. If you just pardon me for a moment, especially our guests, just excuse me a moment, but I want to encourage the church to be consistent in our church attendance. I know during COVID, we kind of went into that live streaming, and many people now that kind of dropped off their church attendance, you know, coming every second week. But let us be consistent. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to be in church even more as we see the day approaching. And so consistency. You know, that we can't afford to be in and out, up and down, up and down. I want to encourage you to be consistent even more as we see the day approaching. And so 1 John 2 verse 28, he says, and now little children, abide in him, consistent, connected to the vine, not connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected, no, abiding. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I want to tell you, he's going to appear soon, and I believe we're going to see the coming of the Lord very, very soon. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the Bible says we will know the season, and we know the season by the times and the signs. There is a responsibility on us to be ready. It's too late to start getting ready when the trumpet sounds. I want to tell you those five wise virgins, the reason why they were ready is because they were consistent. They made sure that their oil was full. They had a consistency. They had checks and balances to make sure that when the bridegroom came, they would be ready. The others thought, you know what? We'll just let it go dry and we'll fix it up next time. A lot of Christians are like that. They allow their lives to go dry and they say, well, when we have a revival meeting or a special service or when pastor preaches a good message or something like that, then I'll get right with God again. But right now, just going to chill for a little while. Is that okay? No, those five wise virgins were ready because they were consistent. And I want to tell you, the signs of the times are all around us, church. We're seeing the unfolding of all the prophecies in the Bible. I don't think there's anything else to be fulfilled. I want to tell you today, Jesus is coming back and we can't afford to be inconsistent. The signs are in society. Matthew 24 said it'll be just like the days of Noah. You say, well, what was happening in the days of Noah?
Well, Genesis 6 says their minds were fixed on evil in the days of Noah. Immorality and violence was everywhere. We can see it in our world today. Paul said, realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We can see those signs in our society now. And then there's the signs in technology. A lot of people don't realize this. But Daniel 12, verse 4, it prophesies that in the last days, there would be an increase of knowledge. Think about it. We started the 20th century on horseback, and we ended it in rockets. Think about through all the years, you know, somebody invented a wheel, somebody invented, you know, found fire, and then for thousands of years it just went like that. And now we're getting to a time where the inventions and the technology is not just like this, it's like this. Many people used to buy magazines to keep up with what was happening in technology. You'd buy a monthly magazine to find out the latest and greatest technology. I tell you, you can't do that with a monthly magazine now. You almost need an hourly update because knowledge is increasing so much. And I want to tell you, Daniel told us that that was going to be a sign of the times. Think about what has changed just in the last couple of years. Think about the phone and the power that you have just in your little device in your pocket. Signs in technology, signs in world politics, signs of Israel, spiritual signs in nature, things like tsunamis and earthquakes, the rumors of wars, plagues. Everybody say plagues. Famines, terrors, signs in the heavens. There are so many signs I want to tell you. And 1 John, our text tells us that there is importance in being consistent, that we abide in Him, not connected and disconnected, but abiding in Him, that we're going to be ready when Jesus comes back. Consistency, thou art a jewel. Let us not be weary in well-doing, but we will reap if we faint not. Remain consistent. We are living in a time where morals are changing, technology is changing, values are changing, ideas and principles are changing. And you know what? It can be very, very unsettling. You know why it's unsettling? Because it doesn't seem like we've got anywhere to attach our anchor. It all changes. But I'll tell you, I've got an anchor. Hebrews talks about an anchor that goes within the veil. That is in the presence of God. That is Jesus Christ. He's my anchor, and I'm going to throw my anchor to Him, and I'm going to hold fast to Him because He's the one thing that doesn't change. He's the one I'm looking to see Him come in the clouds as the trumpet sounds and the clouds part. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, and He doesn't change. He doesn't change. My anchor is fixed. My anchor is fixed on Him. We can't have our anchor fixed in this world. We can't have our anchor fixed in our finances. We can't put our anchor in our good health and all of those things. You can't trust the government by throwing your anchor there. You can only put your trust in Jesus Christ. In our home friendship group lesson this week, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel hit a crisis, the Bible says that he went and prayed. Verse 10, the last four words says, he went and prayed as he did aforetime. He went and prayed, or another version says, as was his custom, as was his consistency. He prayed. He prayed. Why? Not because he was in a crisis. He prayed because he had a consistent prayer life. He prayed when it was good. He prayed when it was bad. He prayed when things were going up, and he prayed when things were going down. He did that when the crisis came. We've got to abide in Him consistently. And now, little children, abide in Him that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Abide. Abide in Him. Let us not be inconsistent Christians. Many people don't want anything to do with Christianity. They say, you know what, I've seen too many inconsistent Christians. Alexander the Great once heard that there was, in his army, there was another man named Alexander. And this man Alexander, who was in Alexander the Great's army, he was a notorious coward. Alexander the Great called the soldier, his namesake, and he said to him, if your name is Alexander, and were you named after me? And the trembling coward said, yes, sir, my name is Alexander, and I was named after you. And that great general, Alexander the Great, said, then either be brave or change your name. And that spoke to me. Because we are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I was baptized, I took upon his name. And I know he might just not, he's greater than Alexander the Great. But I know that there may be times when Jesus looks at us and says, come on, my child, if you're going to take my name, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, at least be consistent. At least be strong. At least be stable. At least be faithful. I'm reminded of the scripture says, I would rather you hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'll throw you out. Consistency, thou art a jewel. You know, your consistency speaks to other people. You know, when we're consistent, we bring strength to those that are around us. When you come to church, I want to tell you, there are people that haven't been to church for like 15 years. They walk back into church, you know what the first thing they say? I just feel so encouraged to see brother so-and-so still here worshiping God. And sister so-and-so, she's still doing that. She's still teaching, or she's still ushering, still leading worship, still singing, still playing an instrument. I feel encouraged. And I want to tell you that there are people that are lost out in this world, and our consistency will bring them strength. Consistency, thou art a jewel. It creates a stability for those that are associated with us. Parents, your consistency speaks to your kids. I'm sorry to say this, but unless we are consistent around our kids, they will lose the faith because they will think you're a fake. Consistency. My dad was so consistent, it was annoying. If he said no, there was no way he would change his mind. I'm sure there were times he was wrong, but consistency was more important. The rules were the rules. Didn't matter how I felt about it. Didn't matter if it hurt my feelings. The rules were the rules. Consistency. And we've got to be consistent in our walk with God. Consistent through the ups and the downs and the setbacks. When we've got job pressure, yes, job pressures will come, but remain consistent. Financial setbacks, remain consistent. All the stresses of life, just remain consistent. Be the Christian who says, you know what? I'm not feeling great. I'm not feeling on top of the world, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. I can find strength from God, and I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know, it's exciting to see Christians who take off running. But you know what? It's even better to see somebody who just keeps putting one foot in front of the other over decades, over you know, that their whole life, just consistent. Not running necessarily, not dancing, no, just consistent. Just there, praying, encouraging other people, singing, worshiping God, coming to church, being in their home friendship group, whether there's four people or 40 people, they're there and they're consistent. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Abide, stability, consistently. Connection with. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, be connected to me. And you see, without consistency, there cannot be fruitfulness. You say, God, I want my life to be fruitful. He says, well, abide in me. Be consistent. You see, God will make sure that you are fruitful. You just make sure you're consistent. You just make sure that you're abiding in Him. You work on the abiding. You work on the consistency. And I tell you, if you abide in Him, if you remain connected to Him, the fruit will flow in your life. There is a link between abiding and fruitfulness. You cannot be fruitful if you aren't consistent. And so my message today, if the musicians can come, consistency. Thou art a jewel. I know I'm speaking to somebody today because I'm speaking to myself. If I'm the only person that needs to hear this message, you know, can you imagine having a pastor that is not consistent, you know, doesn't turn up? I want to be consistent. And for those of you that are leading other people in your life, your children, your colleagues, people that look to you as a Christian, consistency, thou art a jewel. We think people like that are boring. No, they're jewels in the kingdom of God. We think people like that, some of the older people in our church, let me tell you, the older people in our church, they are pillars of the church. They are our pillars. When we come in, we see people like Brother Othman and Sister Sue and Brother Ray and Sister Donna and Sister Ann and Sister Vetting. And they're here week in, week out, consistently faithful. And we get strength from them. That's why a church ought to have every generation. Because the generation before, we can look up to them. They're consistent. Their walk. I thank God for consistency. Consistency, thou art a jewel. I want to tell you that God wants us to be consistent. If we're going to make it when Jesus comes back, we've got to abide in Him. Let's stand all across this place right now, and let's just take a moment to receive what God is speaking to us. My little children, abide in me. Maybe God is speaking to you today. Maybe you found yourself in the house of God, but you can look at yourself today and say, you know what? God, I've allowed myself to become disconnected. Circumstances and situations. The crisis in my life right now. The difficulties that I'm facing, my emotions. They've allowed me to become disconnected from you, God. I'm not abiding in you, oh God. Lord, I'm just kind of floating. I'm not consistent. I want to tell you, if that's you today, God is calling you to be consistent. God is calling you to come back, to connect with Him, to get back into your prayer life, to get back into your walk with God. Just start by putting one foot in front of the other, just one day, and then the next day, and then it'll make 1 week, and then it'll make 1 month, and it'll make 1 year. Just consistency. Some people here today are, your life's not consistent. Why? Because you keep getting distracted. Distractions keep coming. All sorts of distractions. Some of them are bad distractions. And you know what? We may even call some good distractions. They're not necessarily sinful, but they're still distractions. Distractions will affect your consistency. When we temporarily, you know, lose our focus, our priorities can sometimes just be upside down. We find other things creeping into between that space between God and us. He must be first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get Him back into the first position. Some of us here today, and I believe I'm led of God to say this right now, some of us today are inconsistent because we're impatient. Okay, God, I'll do this, but you know what? You better do this by this time. We can't wait on the Lord. And so our consistency drops off. Impatience will get you the next thing, yes. but it won't necessarily get you the best thing. It won't necessarily get you the right thing. Consistency, thou art a jewel. So be careful of the distractions. Be careful of the improper priorities. Be careful of getting your focus off the things that matter. Be careful of impatience. Consistency, thou art a jewel. And the cry and the call of God today is clear. The call of God is for us to abide in Him, to remain connected, consistent, faithful, not wavering, not tossed to and fro. Don't worry about your fruitfulness. Just focus on your connectedness. Focus on your consistency. Focus on your abiding. And if you will do that, God will take care of your fruitfulness. Let's lift our hands right now. Just a moment of silence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, we need you to speak to us. Oh Lord, let your word reprove, rebuke, instruct in righteousness, encourage, exhort. Lord, change our hearts. Maybe somebody here today needs to come and find their near this altar. In fact, every single one of us ought to find a place of surrender and submission to God. The reason why we kneel is because it is a sign of surrender and submission to God. And this altar is open. We're going to sing a song. If you want to come and just pray, the altar is a place for consistent people. I thank God for the people that are consistently at the altar. You know what? Some people may think, you know what? They must have a lot of problems. They're always at the altar. No, they don't have as many problems because they're always at the altar. Consistent. This altar is open. Let us come and seek God. Let us abide in Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, this altar is open, church.
Lord of all. with trumpets sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless and
appropriate to do so right now, and if you're comfortable doing this, why don't you just put your hand on the person next to you, women to women, men to men, husbands to wives, and let's just pray for each other. Let us just pray for each other that God would give us strength. If you're comfortable to do that, if not, I understand. If it's appropriate, you can do that. But if your children are there, grab your children's hands, get mom and dad on one side, and let's just pray that we can remain consistent and faithful, unwavering. Although there be many winds of doctrine, many ideas floating around in the world, that we would stand firm on the Word of God, that we'd build our life on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we pray right now. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray for those around you right now. Oh, Jesus, help us not to grow weary in well-doing. I pray for those, oh God, who feel like they're about to faint and can't do it. God, that we can make it, that we can push through, looking unto You, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus. We look to You, Jesus. We need Your strength. Oh, God. Help our parents here today. Help our grandparents. Help our husbands and wives today. Help the young people today. Oh, consistency is what You want from us, oh God. We thank You, Lord, that in this changing world that You do not change, that Your word is forever settled in heaven. We look to You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just cry out to God a few more moments. There's a beautiful presence of God ministering to our hearts right now. Oh, yes. Christ alone. Christ alone, our cornerstone. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Christ alone. And Christ.
Through the storm.
I'm always so amazed and privileged to be able to pastor this church. And I want to tell you that it's your consistency that inspires my consistency. You know, unless there's consistent people, there's nobody to preach to. And nobody to pastor and shepherd. But I want to tell you that I'm inspired. And I know as pastor, I know a little bit more about everyone's lives and the difficulties. But there's nothing more inspiring than seeing people that go through the darkest and hardest times. And I think to myself Sunday morning, I wonder if I'll see them in church. They walk through that door consistent. I want to tell you, they're the sort of people that are going to make it to heaven. Whatever we face, church, we can make it if we're consistent. The race is not to the swift or the strong, but you can make it if you're consistent in your walk with God. Consistency. Thou art a jewel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Oh God, the exhortation to abide in you. And Lord, the connection between abiding in you and being ready when you come back. Oh God, help us to be so mindful. Lord God, that Lord, it's those that endure to the end. Lord, those who are consistent. So Lord Jesus, help us. Thank you, Lord, for your convicting word. Thank you for your correcting word. Thank you, Lord, even for tough love today. Lord, as we've been reminded, oh God, to be consistent in our walk with you. I thank you for everybody that's here today, Lord. We pray also for those joining us on the live stream, oh God, from their homes or wherever they're joining us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to reach out the four walls of this church and to touch other lives. Lord, be with us, Lord, today in our next service at 11:15 and in our service in Cootamundra today as well. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray you would find us faithful as well. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. I love you, church. God bless you. Have a great week. Keep looking unto Jesus. Whatever happens, let me tell you, Jesus doesn't change. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing. It's all about you.